bags and paper bags to use to collect your specimens. Do not overpick. The trail is a loop, and Seth will explain that. We're to meet back here about what time?
We don't have to meet back here, but we're meeting at Bard Hall.
We're meeting at Bard Hall at?
Well, between 11 and 11:15.
11 and 11:15. So you all presumably have gotten the trail map and a campus map, so you can find your way back to Bard Hall. I can't tell you where that is because I'm following her. So I don't know if there's anything I need to say about collecting mushrooms. You'll hear about that from several experts that are here along the way. We have Britt Bunyard from Fungi Magazine here, so he can identify specimens as we walk, and there are several
Paul,
other people.
Raise your hand.
Yeah. Paul Sadowski.
Right here.
Can also identify specimens.
Seth can identify specimens.
Seth, Joe Brandt from the president of the Connecticut Westchester Mycological Association will help you out.
Which
and,
is Joe
Irene.
My name is David Rose, and I can also help to some extent, but not tiny polypores or LBMs.
And Kathy Brandt. Anybody need
and
bags?
Irene.
We have sandwich bags,
we
plastic
need
bags,
and
sacks.
We have extra knives.
Yeah, help yourself.
Okay. Seth, you want to say anything about the trail?
The idea is that you would get, like, if you don't have anything.
Oh,
you
have a basket.
Oh, you're perfect.
Yeah,
so just grab a few. Okay. Both kinds are waxed, so they'll protect the mushrooms a little bit better. Yeah? Sure.
I'm Sue, by the way. What's your name?
Laura.
Laura, nice, oh, Laura, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. And this is Ralph.
Ralph, how do you do? I'm very excited to be here. Wonderful.
How do you fit into the Tea Party?
Well, actually, I'm the faculty grants officer.
Oh, really? That's a nice grab extra. Some of these white ones. Two.
No.
Did you just say something important that we missed?
No. Yeah. Okay. I just said I'm glad people are wearing boots because it might be a little muddy. And we're just walking through a meadow and then.
Because I have
we are going to wax.
Oh, you want to do that instead?
Yeah.
And by the way,
so
the specimens that you pick, the mushrooms that you pick, take them to Bard Hall at the end of the walk, and we will have some informal discussion about the spectacular finds that you are liable to find today. So we won't be able to identify everything, but we'll try our best to point out what might be good to eat, what might be good to take a photo of. And not
eat.
Yes. Good point, Laura.
Don't put anything in your mouth that you don't know what it is. Okay. Everybody has enough bags?
Okay, folks, I think we're finished studying the parking lot. Now we're going to study mushrooms. So, Seth, lead the way.
Okay, let's go.
Family.
Yeah, but like, I'll.
Yeah,
you know, I cleaned these off before I left this morning, I swear, with a hose.
Really good.
And also, little fishing boxes too. I mean, if you're interested, you might ask them. I see some phone call LBMs go around my shoes that no one can identify. At least I can. And those little boxes are quite helpful. Yeah. Some people are interested in just that, have stacks of them in their baskets. That's amazing. It works. Yeah.
What's that?
Where do they tend to
grow? Tend to live with, and also called maitake. They are a parasite on oak trees. So they'll be growing, you know, a big monstrosity at the base of an oak tree.
Like, should then put that next to each other and realize?
What about chicken of the woods?
Where do they have to be? Yeah, chicken of the woods, which is also called sulfur shelf and other common names. Those are wood rotters and grow on a number of different types of hardwoods. And they can be at the base of the tree or on the roof or even kind of high up the tree. They grow as sulfur shelves. Just about any kind of hardwood, yeah. There's ones that grow on conifers too, but not in this part of North America. So that's a little late for them. But who knows, I mean, the conditions are so crazy right now.
Do you keep
people
each year, so you
keep
them
trying
to find them each year?
Not really a log or anything. Just, you know, see a lot of stuff. Every few weeks I'm somewhere in North America with a different club or something. So.
Sue.
Oh, I'm Galen.
How nice to meet you.
I'm keeping close to Brit because I'm doing the web stream. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Don't use any swear words. Got it.
An artist punk.
There was a quick there.
We have one. I think my wife still has it.
I am not 100% sure of the quaternary. So this is a really good one to show beginners because this is the time of the year when you'll find a very popular edible called bluets, Lepista nuda or Clytosibi nuda, and they occur in lawn areas. They're a leaf rotter, and so and a lot of people go out in the east as well as the west. And they'll be kind of a purple. They'll be purple on top when they start out, and purple underneath, and real strikingly pretty. And this is not them, but a lot of people would mistake it for them. So this is.
Did you point out this is poison ivy?
Yeah.
Where?
Oh yeah. So this is poison ivy. Yeah. That's why this is a really good one to start out with beginners because this is the kind of trouble you can get into. This is one of a number of different quaternarias, which could be fairly toxic. We won't see, really a whole lot of toxic mushrooms today, probably. And maybe only like one that's really dangerously toxic. But for sure, this is in a group that has deadly species and has killed a lot of people. And in fact, the quaternarius group is the one that caused the author of The Horse Whisperer and his party that were out collecting what they thought were chanterelles in the UK several years ago. They all ended up in the hospital, and had they not had really good health care and a lot of money, they all would have been dead. Now, two of the people will be on dialysis the rest of their lives, and two had a liver transplant, and that's the only thing that saved them. So how would you know stuff that looks just like a wonderful bluet that smells like
Fruit Loops, or it's a really wonderful taste. How would you know that? From one of these brownish purple quartz. So here's how to know. So besides knowing the habitat, time of year, location, all that goes into figuring out what mushrooms you have, there's some other things too. Of course, you can use microscopy and stuff like that, which we don't have, so that's out of the question. But you can do spore prints. And even when you get back, even as an expert, when you get back home with stuff that you, I've always wanted to try this mushroom, I think this is what it is, still you can do one more last test overnight, and that's to do a spore print. And if you did a spore print on this versus blue, it's, you would know instantly in just a few hours, certainly overnight, this is definitely not a bluet, although strikingly pretty, as you can see the purple color underneath. And in fact, we don't even need to do a spore print. These things are making so many spores, they've already spore printed themselves. So bluets have a white to very slightly pink spore print. And the spores, the dust of this mushroom, are all over the stem and the gills. And what color is that? Yeah, rust brown. So quaternarias have rust brown spores. And so all the time people ask, is there some rules of thumb about knowing deadly from not deadly mushrooms? I heard if they grow on wood. I heard if they're white. I heard if you cook them with a silver spoon. My grandma did it. Or throw a silver coin in there. If it turns black, it's poisonous. Oh, wait, no, it's the reverse. If it doesn't turn black, it's safe. There are no rules of thumb, really. But here's one sort of rule of thumb if you're a beginner. If the mushroom has rust brown spores, unless you really know what you're doing, don't bother collecting them. There's quaternarias, including dangerous ones, and there's edible quaternarias too, for sure. But dangerous quaternarias have rust brown spores. Deadly Gallerina is dangerous. I mean, the name tells you that right there. Deadly Gallerinas have rust brown spores. Gymnopolis, Foliotas, there's several mushrooms that produce rust brown spores that are dangerous. So that right there would show you. Here's one other thing about this thing, looking at the anatomical structures. A lot of mushrooms, when a cap pops open, it breaks this covering that covers the gills and protects them from being munched on or whatever. And that leaves a ring on the stem. Quaternarius has a different kind of a ring, a special kind of a ring that's hairy. It's like a spider web. It's called a quartina, and that's how they get the name quaternarius. And there's a couple other mushrooms that have quartinas, but almost all the quaternarius do. And when that cap pops open and the quartina that's covering the gills breaks, those hairs then kind of fall down against the stem, and they look kind of like wet hairs matted down, and they're loaded with those rust brown spores, so they look like kind of rust brown hairs on the stem. But that's the quartina. So, you know, right away, I could tell, I don't necessarily know which species of quaternarius it is, but I know it's not the edible bluet, which I would have been, you know, hoping to find here amongst the poison ivy that I'm standing in. But anyways, strikingly pretty. So the quaternarius, a huge group. It's real hard to know a lot of the species of quaternarius. We have over 600 species in North America. And some are drab colors, browns and yellows, but a lot of them are vibrant blues, purples, reds, just really pretty, and some of them are quite slimy on top, so they're really cool to see, even though you can't necessarily figure them all out. This little guy here is a, and by the way, the bluet, Lepistinuta, it's a rotter. It's saprobic and rots leaves and things like this. Quaternarius are mycorrhizal. So they do not grow from soil or leaves or detritus. They grow from the root tips of this tree, and they're a partner with this oak tree. They're basically farming the tree, kind of like lichens. And this is another mycorrhizal fungus. This is a little Russula here, common name of brittle gills. Mm-hmm. And we have lots and lots of them. Tough to know which one. We have lots and lots of red ones, and they're really, we'll see lots of them today. They're not really edible or anything, but they're ubiquitous, and they farm trees as well. So whoever,
I'm really into that name, brittle gills, that like trying to distinguish them from other species, you can literally just like crush the gills,
so,
and they kind of crumble.
Amongst the mycologists, the Russulas are usually not so exciting because they're everywhere and kind of tough to know which ones. They're not really especially edible. There's a couple that people collect, but and they all do have this brittle characteristic. So some people, actually no, just me, how I can key them out and identify them is if someone says, is this a Russula? And I usually throw it against the tree and it explodes into a shower of pieces. I'm like, yeah, that was a Russula, all right, that's for sure. So they are brittle, and you could snap the cap in half very easily. Whereas most other mushrooms are very flexible. If I threw these against a tree, it would bounce off and hit someone in the head. Russulas and members in their group, in the Russulales, like the milk caps mm-hmm. and some other things, they all have very brittle tissue and will break because they have a special type of a mycelium that has these big inflated mm-hmm. cells called spherocytes, and they're real thin-walled, and that causes the tissue to break. These and boletes and other stuff, they won't break. They're real flexible. I'm not going to throw it against the tree. It's too pretty. So, there's another Russula there.
Also a Russula.
And so besides throwing against the tree, you can see that the cap is broken. If you take the stem, it'll kind of snap like a piece of chalk. This quaternaris wouldn't do that. So we'll see tons of these. And, you know, if you find some especially nice specimens of Russulas, bring them in. But there won't be a shortage of them. There never are. These guys, I don't know. This could be the only collection of this really pretty purple. And do you know
that's
which
a really
one?
Good one?
You know which quaternaris this is?
I don't know which one it is. I'm not great at quaternaris.
Paul could know. He's local. Expert. I wouldn't even want to I wouldn't even want to guess. I know which section of the genus it's in, but that's about it.
There's also these.
Oh, okay. That's I thought these were stepped on quaternaris. This is actually not the same thing. This here, someone hold these. Wow, so this is how it's gonna be. I mean, we would probably even see other stuff growing here if we look closely. So here's another.
Oh, Laura, what did you find?
I don't know.
It's a beauty.
So this is a little, it looks almost like a turkey tail, although it's kind of a little more shiny. But
what's the part of this?
Kind of similar.
Yeah, it's like a Trimedes.
Yeah, so it looks like a little turkey tail, which is another saprum. This is a really cool one. So mention the Lactarius and related and relatives that have the brittle mm-hmm. tissue. This is a Lactarius, so it's a very close relative of the Russula. Its tissues would snap. And I'm not going to snap it just yet, because I want you to get a good look at it. This one is called Lactarius samicola, or samicola, people pronounce it. And the name, you'll hear a lot of scientific names today. I don't know if this has a common name, and a lot of mushrooms don't. So it's not that the mycologists here are trying to impress upon you that they're a bunch of smarty pants. Actually, they are. They're actually trying to sound smart. But a lot of things don't have common names. So, but if you get familiar with Greek and Latin, you can tease out stuff about the mushrooms. So this is Lactarius. It'll lactate. It has milk. It's a milk mushroom. When you break the tissue, milk will come gushing out sometimes. This one's kind of old, so it's not doing it. But no doubt we'll see others that will today. And then the specific epithet, Samicola, P-S-A-M-M-I, that refers to sand. So this is the sand-loving Lactarius, and I have no idea why it's called that, because it's everywhere and on lawns and stuff, so I don't know who named that and why. Maybe it was because it was sand colored. I don't know. It always says I think one of the common names is the zoned or zonate Lactarius. It always has these rings. I think maybe in the Glinkhoff book, maybe he calls it the zoned Lactarius. Mm. And this is another one. Lactarius get these big kind of hole-looking dots on the stem. So sometimes Lactarius look like other mushrooms, but this is a way to tell them a lot of times. So yeah, that's another semicola. So maybe break
one?
This one.
I broke it, yeah.
Any milk coming out?
I don't know.
Yeah. So this one has milk coming out. And so on the different Lactarius, because there's so many and they look real similar, the color of the milk that's exuded from the tissues can help you key them out. Because sometimes it'll be clear like water.
Yeah,
other times it'll be white like this. Other times it'll be orange or maybe orange and then turn green. And, you know, all of that will come into play. Yeah, or it can look like skim milk.
Smell
like very watery.
We are still speaking about non-edible ones.
I don't know. You want to break it?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. And, you know, depending on what your background is and ethnicity, I mean, what stuff I wouldn't bother to eat, maybe Europeans really like a lot of the Lactarius. You know, Eastern Europeans will pickle them or salt them or turn them into
something. So they are edible.
Yeah, it's
not this type, maybe, but the other one. I know.
I know which group it belongs, but not what you want to eat. Yeah. Edible and palatable are not the same thing.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you?
Around here we have three different kinds of Lactarius. Choice. Cordis, Hydrophoroides, and Volunus. And they look a little bit different than that. They're more brown at the top.
Hi.
Like
how are you?
Thank you.
Hey, George, how'd you sleep?
Very well.
Look at all that.
Sure, I was
asleep. Oh, you didn't get that?
No, we did. Right? It was good enough.
Maybe you aren't as close to this time as you'd like to believe. Maybe you're driving to the car.
No. So are we streaming?
We are.
Cool.
We're very close.
There are our levels.
You work at all?
No, I talk to you. Okay.
It's nice. The streams, we recently set up a system where it makes an automatic recording.
Oh, right. So, yeah.
These spontaneous streams get captured that way, too.
To that size.
Nice. Different mushrooms, different ways. You know, a lot of them literally come up and they're fully formed as a primordia and then take on water and just pop up to full size overnight. You
right.
Know? And that's been kind of the mystery of some of them. Others actually do grow. They don't just take on water, so it can take weeks.
Okay.
These here, the Portinarius, the Lactarius, those, I bet, to get that size, 3 or 4, 3 days, and this is going to be 4 days.
Yeah.
The Rushula was maybe even overnight. Wow, this beauty.
Zygomycetes.
Oh, yeah.
How about a lesson on zygomycetes?
Yeah, because you have a picture of them, right?
Yes.
Susan. Yeah. Susan. So here's a couple of cool things to see. This is looks like a Hiboloma mushroom. Kind of tough to know because it's kind of going downhill. Hibolomas have brown spores and the gills do look kind of brown. One other characteristic about this mushroom, and not too many mushrooms do it, is it has a feature called hygrophinous, which gives it this water-soaked appearance. If you have garden plants this time of the year, in a couple weeks when frost hits them, the leaves will look water-soaked because during frost episodes, without going into the whole detail about bacteria that like preying upon plants, the bacteria often cause the frost, really. They're isonucleation bacteria, but that's for the bacteria plant walk, mushroom walk. This is the mushroom plant walk. So this gets this water-soaked look, but that's because that's characteristic of this mushroom, and only a few mushrooms do that. So some mushrooms that are kind of hard to tell, one of the things that a scientist will say, well, is it hygrophinous or not? So then I can kind of start keying it down. So, and that's because the skin on the surface of the mushroom is very thin, and as the mushroom matures, it kind of lays down unevenly and gives it this water-soaked appearance. It's not
this
because,
little guy, I think, also.
It's not because it's rotting. This one is because it is rotting.
I see.
So, yeah, that's just rotting.
Did you get what it's called?
Isn't
What's it?
It
called again?
This is the gene. I think this is probably the genus Hiboloma, although, actually, it could be something else because it is a little bit rotten. But anyways, what David wanted to point out was the mycoparasites. So we have fungus on fungus, hot, steamy sex action going on here. So there's a fungus on here that parasitizes mushrooms, and not because they're rotting and they just get moldy, but it hits them when they're fresh and even before they even are fully formed. And it's a zygomycete. So we're looking today at mostly Basidiomycetes, the so-called higher fungi. This is a way, way lower fungus. These have been around since way before Basidiomycetes came on. And a pin mold is what a lot of people call it. But anyways, it forms this kind of hairy mold, like the mushroom looks like it's having a bad hair day. And
Sam Ristich called it the troll doll fungus.
Yeah. So they'll get all furry. And remember those little troll dolls from the 80s? You could kind of wiggle them. So yeah, it'll often kind of waft off to the side and then get these little black beads on it, and that's this sort of the spore producing bodies. And the genus of the pin mold is?
Syzygietes?
Yeah, Syzygietes or Syzygietes, and there's other pronunciations. So David or I or both of us have a slide of that today. So there's really not much else to know about the Syzygietes except, of course, I'll continue pointing out scientific names, and this is a great one. So what the heck is anyone into astronomy here? Because it gets its name from a syzygy.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so syzygy is when the planets align. Mm-hmm. That's called a syzygy. So you would see a syzygy in these if you were to culture this zygomycete on auger petri plate with another opposite mating type, so sort of like male and female, and they'll grow to each other, and where the two meet, they'll have anastomose, and they'll start doing sexual reproduction and make these spore-producing structures in a line where they meet. And so someone decided that looked like a syzygy of the planets aligning. Yeah. And where they first meet, that one will be bigger than all the rest. So they're like big and getting smaller, smaller, smaller. Sort of like the planets going to Jupiter and Saturn and back down to small. And so someone thought that was a reminiscent of a syzygy. So.
But do they require each other? I mean, do they always come in syzygies?
Well, for sex to happen. So, do you need me to explain that? When a male and female fungus love each other very much.
Okay. Syzygy is not actually the alignment, but the pairing.
No, it is. So it's the alignment because they form this
in the astronomical context.
Oh, it's the pairing.
But in other contexts,
I see.
It's a pairing. Oh. It's, they require each other as.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha, the pairing. So that's another weird thing about fungi and doing sexual reproduction. Of course, the mushrooms are, you know, sort of the sexual organ of the fungus, sort of. Where sexual reproduction happens in the fungus, it's a lot less exciting than, you know, like late night TV. It's the fungi get together and the two different mating types and, you know, the spores germinate and start growing and the mycelium touches and fuses. That's not the sex part. The sex part happens much later, or maybe never happens. Mm-hmm. So the fungi that are in the soil, they've already recombined with another mating type. So they have both nuclei growing in all of their cells, but kept separately. The sex part only happens in basidiomycetes, only happens on the gills when they make this kind of a club-shaped structure. The nuclei fuse, that's the sex. Then they come apart by meiosis, etc., and then they make spores. So, you know, catching fungi doing sex is really... It's not that great.
Yeah. Where do you see the spore?
So I don't really see spores, but I see on the side of the stem it looks kind of brown. So this was either Heboloma that had a cortina, because that looks kind of like a cortina there. But it's kind of tough to know because there's all this other fuzz from this mold. So I think it was either a Heboloma or a quaternarius.
What were the identifying features on that made you look at it?
Well, David handed it to me and said, here, talk about this.
That's a good one.
Well, he wanted me to talk about the vitamin A.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you? Did you have a good night's sleep?
We did, actually.
Yeah,
we typically do this.
Okay,
yeah,
so
I work
you
at
can
night.
Get up again.
I tend to work at like 3, 4 in the morning.
And then sleep till noonish?
Well, whatever, 6 hours, 6.5 hours, 7 hours, whatever. If you want, like, you know,
so you made yourself go to bed so you could get up early?
Yeah, I can. I'm very flexible, actually. I can do it in this schedule. For 6 months, I'm going to get up at 5 to get up.
Uh-huh.
I like that very good, but you know, I drifted back to my evil ways. Working in the night. I do sometimes work in the east and dark. They're distracted. Maybe that every night. That's my way of writing.
You and I are just the opposite, but I think it's just implementing
things.
So I'm super
early
for that. I work best at the morning, which means that I'm not very good after that time of night.
I see, yeah.
So, but I'm not long before anybody else. Did you see all the hawks?
Yeah,
they're
going to
but it's this, the same. Working
yeah, but this is a special
time
year for my talkie. You're not going to see him like this in a while.
No, I don't mean it. Yeah. Like,
it's
door.
It's like a feng shui thing.
You know,
yeah. You do not want even the possibility.
Maybe as many fish as there are this year.
Yeah.
There's some right down by the oak tree, by the parking lot.
I know.
Did
I saw,
you see him?
Yeah, yeah.
You see a little bud?
Yeah.
A little baby one there on the one side. Definite leftovers. Maybe some that have been cut.
So you're in Illinois now?
Yes.
Look at the
vultures.
Yeah. I said they're coming for us. They're waiting for us to eat a poisonous mushroom, and then they're coming in for the kill.
Yeah. Are you dry this year, or?
Oh, no, it's really nice out there.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It was a bit of rain, and, well, I don't know the part you're in, because Joel was out. Joel went out to visit some friends, and he said that it was very boggy wet when he was there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Illinois has been pretty wet all... Because I've been out a few times, even, you know, while we were moving and before we moved there. It was pretty wet.
Yours is?
Well, it's where I live now. We just moved there a couple months ago.
Right, I saw that. So
yeah.
I didn't know whether you moved there because you were originally.
Not originally from there, but originally from the Midwest. Close enough. And we previously lived in Ohio and Wisconsin.
them close enough. And in Connecticut. So we've lived out this way too. Yeah. Why did we move? Well, that's a very good question. For the money. Every time my wife has a job transfer or gets a different job, then we move.
Okay. All right.
So you're kind
Heath follows. Heath follows his beautiful
right?
wife.
I have no income. She's all her. That's all her. I formerly was a college professor for quite a few years.
Okay. Oh,
and made some money, but not.
And who does she work for?
She now works for a company that does positions and entertainment and
so there's my
unemployment. She does IT stuff, so she runs the software digital. She doesn't have anything to do with entertainment or healthcare or anything like that. We don't have companies that work for the computer stuff.
Okay.
They fire when you shoot something that you feel is yourself. It mirrors you. And so if the person yawns, you yawn. Or if the person smiles, you smile.
Yeah.
And it's an involuntary quick action.
Are we heading into the woods here?
I
see you are, Carol.
Susan?
I'm not sure what to do.
Seth's got the friend of that line.
I know.
David, it must be up there too, though.
It's oil is what's bad. I'm missing it.
About anywhere you go off the path.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I didn't know why we were staying on the path. Sorry.
These are the Sicholoma sulphurea. These are they're real stinky ones.
Hmm.
Oh, that's another Corton area of some sort. Yeah, so this in fact is a Tricholoma sulphureus that's even a little old. So it has the sulfur smell, that kind of coal tar smell, plus a little bit of extra thrown in there too, a little bit of extra funk. But it's a real stinker.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
That's a trifle. Now on your fingers.
What do you think that is, Irene? Look at those gills. They're almost sawtooth-edged, but not quite. Well, what that is.
That's dusting.
Yeah.
Here, get a whiff of that, buddy.
I did.
That's a stinker.
Stinker. Oh, you got one of those quart?
That's a quart. That's an even better one.
Yeah, here's some small ones here.
Yeah. Well, I guess the stem wasn't better. This is very crumbly.
Here. Yeah.
Little stinky sulfury.
What is that one?
Yeah, this Tricholoma. Is Tricholoma sulfurescens sulfureus. Mm. There's a few types of sulfur smelling.
So we don't know what this one is. Right?
Yeah, Tricholoma sulfureus. This is another one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So did you make the Tricholoma
that's
based
Tricholoma?
On smell?
That's a good question. So the Tricholoma was based on the fact that it looks like it's probably got white spores and has almost no other features.
Right.
Is in a hardwood forest very late in the fall. And so that's cluing me in that might be in the Tricholoma tasii. And then the smell
I mean, nothing smells like that. There's like three or four in that group of the genus Triclum, and they all have that smell.
Right.
So if we see even fresher ones of this, it'll be pale yellow, and the stem will even have sort of a little bit of a purple violet hue.
On the Triclum? Because there's some right there.
Yeah. What's that one?
That's different, isn't it? That's totally
that's
different.
Totally different.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, no, it's
there's
different.
Lots of those.
Yeah, it's like the one you photographed.
It's on wood.
Is that my
oh, so this is on wood?
On a tree trunk.
Okay, that helps. So, and by the way, if you're collecting stuff, especially if you don't know what it is and want to get it ID'd, you need to really get the entire mushroom. So that includes a little bit of the substrate at the bottom of the stem, so then you know if it was growing on leaf litter, dirt, on wood. Okay, so knowing this is on wood, that helps me decide that I still don't know what it is. But it's probably either some sort of a Mycena or maybe even a Pluteus. Yeah, I think it's actually a Pluteus.
Pluteus?
Yeah, Pluteus don't. Pluteus have pink spores, so the gills haven't turned pink yet, but sure looks Pluteus on the top. So I think this is probably in with the deer mushroom or fawn mushroom group. Pluteus with a P.
How would I find it?
I think you want to see it. Mm-hmm. I want to see it, but I'm pretty sure Pluteus. And the thing with the Pluteus in the another quaternarius. So yeah, more rust brown spores.
These are not edible, right?
None of these. The Pluteus are edible, but bland. There's some great big Pluteus that people do collect. Yeah, they're no great shakes. But none of these other ones are. But all of these have mushrooms, once you really get to know them, they all have species in their group that are good edibles. But so far, none of these really are anything that's... You'll know, because the mushroomers in the group, they'll be like, oohing and on, and go okay, like, oh, what are you going to do with that? You know?
So those were growing near the Tricholoma.
Oh, pretty.
So maybe a younger version?
Maybe. I don't have a smell.
Yeah.
But it's possible... I'm just not real sure.
Get the Tricholoma out of there.
They're really pretty.
I didn't get it.
I think maybe those are little baby ones. Possibly. Okay. Right. It's kind of tough to know. There's not a lot of characters on them, and that's the way Tricholomas are. Let's check out this Amanita that I heard about.
And there's a Rucola.
There's another Rucola, yeah. A lot of little bitty things on the... On the fourth court. Oh, so here's an Amanita here.
Yes.
Here's a beautiful Amanita here. So I like Amanitas and things that have a lot more structures about them. You know, you can figure out what they are. So this has a big bulbous base that has a red blush to it, has a big, beautiful skirt like ring on the stem, has some blushing and even maybe some sort of lavenderish tones to the cap. So I can, you know, tell what this is right away.
Rubenescence. What is that one?
This is not rubescence. This is Amanita. Older books would call this Amanita citrina or Amanita citrina variety lavendula. The name is actually now Amanita lavendula. It's been established that we don't have the real citrina. That's a European name. But it is the citron-colored, it's the citron Amanita because it has this pretty citron color. This is a little faded. If they were real fresh, it's a real pretty... almost fluorescent glow about it. They're a really cool color, but
hold on to that.
And Amanitas, of course, are in the most notorious group for killing people, even though there's a lot that are totally safe and popular edibles, but this is actually one of the fairly toxic Amanitas.
Oh, hang on. This
yeah, that's a nice specimen. There should be lots of Amanita lavendulas out there.
I got
right
an
Amanita.
Oh, here's one.
I always saw that.
Carol's got a slime mold. Ooh, I figured you had the same Amanita as me, but no, you do not.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Wow, Scaria.
Yeah, so this is the Eastern Muscaria. So, if you pull out the other Amanita, there's a lot of mushrooms, and you don't necessarily know what species you have. People will argue over species. They're usually full of hooey.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
So, and frankly, I don't really care. I'm not a taxonomist, so I don't care if I don't get it to species. But I can usually get it to group and know which one I have. So with Amanitas, that's really important because certain groups are deadly poisonous. Mm. Certain groups of the genus are popular edibles, like Caesar amanitas are, you know, crazy good, and people all over the world collect them, and you can find them in markets. So even if I didn't know what species these two are, and I definitely do, but even if I didn't, I would know which section of the genus it is. So this guy with the really pretty skirt-like ring and this big bulbous base that gets these splits and clefts, it's in one group that's not the same as this one, which it's not fully formed, so I'm not sure that it's Amanita muscaria, even though it is. But muscaria, it's in a different section. The section of the genus that this one's in has these rings at the bottom. So what's going on there? When Amanitas are first forming as a little primordia, they look like a little egg. They have a cover that covers the entire mushroom, and not many groups of mushrooms do that. And that's called a universal veil. Partial veil covers the gills, universal veil covers the whole mushroom. Oh. As the mushroom elongates and the stem elongates and the cap opens, all that breaks. And so now what becomes of the universal veil tells you which section and, in fact, which species you have. Mm. And so that's why it's important to get the whole stem. If you just came along and cut this off, all the important stuff would be gone because it's actually on the stem with Amanitas. So this guy, universal veil, you hardly see it all. There might be a little bit of a piece on the top, and the parts on the bottom kind of go away. This guy proudly displays them. So the bottom part of this covering manifests in a few rings of scales that are really easily seen on the bulb of the stem, and then on the top of the cap. Everyone knows Amanita muscaria always has these like patches or warts on the top. Yeah. That was the top part of the covering, and the way it breaks up and kind of sticks to the cap results in warts rather than a big piece that sits on the top or pieces that fall off or whatever, which all the different groups do. So Amanita muscaria, Amanita lavendula. So toxic, but
psychotropic?
Maybe psychotropic. It's
once you get past the sick.
Once you get past the sick and sleeping, it's definitely a bush, in my opinion, definitely a bush league psychotropic. This is not the one. If you want to know psychotropics, come talk to me. We'll talk real psychotropics.
Right. Are the red ones more psychotropic?
I mean, the red ones, and especially the red ones maybe from Asia, seem to be the more famous.
Mongolia.
Yeah, the more famously psychotropic ones. Mm-hmm. And so, but with caution, because they do have some other compounds in there that are quite toxic. It's not like psilocybin mushrooms, which are not toxic at all.
Right.
And this one is a different group. Certainly has no psychotropic properties, but does have toxins. And it's different toxins from this, because they're in two different groups of the genus.
Supposedly they take them.
Nice to have that in the wood.
They take the part off, right?
So people that are eating them for psychotropic properties, you know, some will say you have to take the skin off. Some say that's the psychotropic part. I don't really know.
Salmon's drink the urine, don't they, of reindeer?
Yeah, that's been alleged too. So the thing is, Amanita muscaria is actually a safe edible, but you have to cook the gastric toxin, you know, the things that'll upset your stomach. Uh-huh. You have to cook those out. So you could chop it up. If you get big baskets of them, you could chop them up, kind of blanch them in water and throw the water away, and then saute the mushroom. And I've done that, and it's decent edible, but.
Yeah.
You know, there's usually other stuff out that's even better and a lot less work.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's Amanita muscaria variety Jessoii. It's the eastern one. The Jessoii. Amanita muscaria.
To interrupt, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So the trail that everybody else has gone on and that we're going on is further north and then into the woods. This is not a marked trail. This is kind of like a herd trail, and that's fine. But everybody else is on the marked red trail further north. So
okay.
I just want to make sure that.
Let's go back.
It is your fault.
So this one.
Thank you, Seth.
It's very hard, but it looks like it's definitely fungus and has a rhizomorph that's attached to something else that's rotting. I think this was a stinkhorn that just dried out, because it looks like a stinkhorn rhizomorph and like a little stinkhorn egg.
Wow.
Or maybe it's a poop. I don't know. But it's really hard. Oh, wow.
That's a very unusual one.
Seem to be destroyed.
I like this.
Jerry, this is Chlorosavoria. Right? Same color?
Chlorosavorius, that's it.
Ooh. Wow.
Where's Carol, your lovely dog?
Right there.
Ooh, past prime destroying angel.
Yeah.
That one is
dope.
Yeah,
hopefully we can see some nice ones.
Ooh.
That's true.
Oh, mama, what is this?
Where the gills look like.
At first I thought this was a Cystogerma, but I don't know what it is. Ooh, not a very good smell.
fuck, I can't place the smell. Wow. I don't know what that is. Is it a lactation? Has beads.
It's gorgeous.
There's beads of moisture, but that's not the milk. That's just. I think all of the local experts have got to come together and talk this one over. This is. That is gorgeous.
I think there's a movement to meet, catch up.
Oh, we got to catch up?
Yeah.
Looks like a phytosavy, and it looks like this. This is a people lover.
I love the other. And you know, my son is one of the other. His idea was, don't get to dance. So he was like, you know, he put every kitchen in every aspect of. Whatever the area that we will stand in here, they asked my daughter to officiate. Now she is not, you know, she is not a preacher, but she has a wonderful way with words. So she went online and she's earning her certification so that she can be the official ceremonial person.
What did they do?
Yeah, well they were just, I mean, they were so funny. Like, we try to figure out who would do justice to both of us. And then we said, Kate! So she's pretty excited. And I think, you know, from a role standpoint, she has so many girlfriends and family members that I think...
Lichens will grow on anything, on any surface, if you give them some time. I have some lichens I'll mention in my talk, so we'll just take some.
These were just, they were on the tree there.
Yeah, so this is another little wood rotter. Looks kind of like a turkey tail, but
yeah, that's what I thought when you showed us the turkey tail. But
yeah, but it's not.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
This is...
but it was pretty.
Yeah, that's the violet, too. That's the violet. The heavy industry ran away. Yeah, they're definitely. Oh, look at this little nest here.
That's up there.
Oh, boy.
Look at
this little nest.
It is. I would say, let's see, hummingbird, maybe.
It's pretty big.
That's big for
what is it?
Wow.
Yeah. It's like a little basket.
I have a mailbox with a little triangle in it, and there's a nest in it. Whenever I go to get my mail, the bird comes out.
Oh, yeah.
This is the human sound.
Yeah.
Can't get away from that.
The
right?
They're going tribal today. You know, when you think about identifying mushrooms and, you know, you start looking at all the different characteristics in the habitat and the stem or no stem or gills or cores, those are all parts of the sort of the morphology of the fungus. And a bird's nest is, you know, it's the sort of extended morphology of the bird, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're keying out birds, you know, you listen for a song or see the nest, that all comes into play, even though it's something they build. They always build the same type.
Oh, I know. We've been watching these incredible atmosphere bird films. Oh my God, learning all the details of certain birds.
Are you focusing on those that are in this region?
No. We should, but not yet. We're first focusing on art birds, birds that make galleries and things like that.
Ah.
There are a lot of amazing birds.
That build things. You see beauty and other things. Within the mushroom sort of crazy community, people are about looking for mushrooms and whatnot. A goodly number, maybe most of them, are also in the birds. And you know, so if you're out hiking around and it's too dry or really not the right place for mushrooms, you know, you can usually
follow the birds.
Yeah, you can usually just pull your binoculars out or whatever
right.
And still have a very successful day.
I know, I was going to bring my binoculars today, but then I thought I'd be distracted. I'm focusing.
Okay.
sure if you're willing to go north, south, or, you know, in terms of sometimes, I don't know.
I was just told to follow the path.
I assume.
A lot of quaternaria south everywhere.
It's really hard to, like, stay on the trail.
Yes.
It's torturous.
Are you allergic to poison ivy?
I am.
Susan's very allergic.
I'm extremely allergic.
Allergic to it. So much of it's everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
You'll have to wash your boots.
Yes.
Those mushrooms that I had on my lawn.
Yes, you should.
I still have a few. Okay. But the deer ate them all for that.
So this is a third type of anemonite, the third different section of the genus. This is the tawny grisette, anemonite of fulva or marifulva. If we have a wax paper, paper baggie, or foil, we keep this kind of nice. It has a beautiful saccate bulb at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the emanitas, this group of emanitas is one of the edible groups of emanitas.
Oh, wow.
It's not real wonderful. So, in fact, this isn't actually fulva. This is Amanita beningiana. Yeah, Amanita beningiana, named for a lady, Mary Banning, first discovered it.
Is it known how many?
I don't know. I don't even know what
kinds of Amanita.
It's a little tiny.
Amanita. You say Amanita. You say Amanita.
Yeah, Amanita, 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 Amanita. Right. None of them are actually truly correct Latin.
So, does anybody know how many, roughly how many there are?
In North America we have about 200 species of Amanita, probably maybe a little over 80 or so that you would actually see in a lifetime. But a couple hundred in North America, and then worldwide it's, I think, maybe 600 known species. So it's a big genus.
It's a big genus.
Why is that not like Flavoconia?
Okay. That's good. So again, all the information is at the bottom of the stem.
Yeah.
So Flavoconia doesn't have a saccate vulva.
Oh, okay.
The vulva, which we had the Citrina type and the Muscaria type, the vulva on those, the universal veil, when it breaks, does something different than what it does on this. When the covering, the universal veil, breaks on this guy and others in this section of the genus, it results in this big saccate vulva, this boot at the bottom.
Okay.
Also, unlike those other two, there will be no ring on the stem of this guy. So this is in section vaginati.
Okay.
So it has a big saccate vulva boot, no ring. There'll be sort of a straight margin. You can see the lines on the cap.
Yeah.
So that's a way to know that group. Now, how to know which species? That's kind of tough to know. So most people that don't know the group super well probably would just say, oh, this is the tawny grisette, because it's kind of fulvous, kind of tawny colored. That one usually grows with moss in kind of boggy areas, whereas this one is more upland. This is Mary Banning's Amanita, Amanita beningiana, and it's kind of this brownish mustard yellow color. The other one's a little more fulvous. It's kind of a red-brown leather color.
So Mary Banning?
Yeah, named for Mary Banning.
Oh,
yeah, Amanita beningiana. Yep, that's this one.
So that's an Amanita or a vulva?
No, that's an Amanita.
Amanita, for sure, yeah.
We have three.
Not only do we have three different species, but three different... In fact, there was a destroying angel that was kind of beat up.
Someone's
I think that's...
Oh!
Which one is this? Boy, at first glance, I thought this was the Tricholoma known as the man on horseback. But it's not. This is the Saponacea. So this is the Tricholoma that looks like one of the most popular edibles, the man on horseback, which has bright yellow gills. So, but it looks the same on the top as this. When you turn it over, this one has white gills. So this is actually, it'll upset your stomach. And doesn't have the wonderful smell or taste or anything.
And what is it?
This is another Tricholoma.
Tricholoma.
Yep, so this is Tricholoma saponacea, the soapy trick.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that was probably also a Gary Lincoff invented name.
That's a
corn. That's definitely a corn, yeah.
And that's,
we
is
have
this?
That,
oh, and, oh, so this one has a lot nicer stem. This looks pretty banded. This looks a little bit more like Cortinarius armillatus.
Armillatus?
Yeah, and yeah, they probably yeah, all were that. They were just kind of old and you couldn't really see the banding.
Same? Is that the same as that? No.
No.
I don't think so. Let's see the gills.
No,
I don't think so. I think
no,
I think I think Cortinarius, but not the same one. And this is the bewilderment of the Cortinarius. You know, there's
yeah, yeah,
there's so many.
And this is a oyster.
Are the
yeah, probably. It's certainly oyster-like.
This is the trail that goes down.
It's certainly oyster-like. It's kind of thin flesh.
Yeah, I smell it.
Yeah.
A little bit. A little kind of anisey, a little. Yeah.
Fishy.
Yeah. So, yeah, no doubt.
All right. That's not another one of these where Bauer's suggestion is drawing my...
No, it's probably an oyster of some sort, a true oyster. There's a lot of things that look kind of like oysters, but I think that probably is.
Maybe biformia?
Yeah.
Trichep.
Yeah, I think another trichep. So, where did that little pretty...
I kept that.
Okay, good.
So I'm trying to keep them in.
Can I put this in here, Jerry?
Take those Tricholomas. Those are nice specimens.
Yeah. You need another bag?
These probably don't need a bag. They're pretty durable. That's pretty durable, too.
Yeah.
Super. It's nice finding stuff from a genus, but from different sections of the genus, so that you can kind of show the differences and how, I could spot a Tricholoma every time. Oh, wait, no, that's a Tricholoma. Yeah, it's a different group of the genus, and it looks totally different. So.
You be back on the trail?
Is it which way is it? This one?
Well, it looks like you're on it right there, right?
Yeah, I think this is it.
Yeah, right here. I believe so.
Yep.
Seth said it was red marked, so I haven't been paying attention to markings.
I think we got off it.
Think so?
Okay.
We're so far behind the rest of the group, though, we wouldn't see them, I don't think.
Oh, wow. Look at this. Oh, my God.
Wow.
What are these? I found some of these the other day and I identified them as not edible.
No, we don't. We just don't eat any of them because they're hard to identify. But they're fun.
Yeah, I found
Do you know what these are?
You know, we have,
not specifically, is to genus. I mean, it's a species.
You know, it does kind of that special thing when it's on, it's usually it's on fun. Sticks, but...
They are fun. Spaghetti mushrooms.
Yeah.
If you see it on a log, it can often look very different.
Like a spaghetti squash.
I've never seen any quite like that.
Some of them are purple.
Yeah.
This is
fun, aren't they?
I think this is an aloe clavaria.
Oh.
Do you think this is an aloe clavaria?
This might be an aloe clavaria.
Is this not an aloe?
That is not.
No.
What? I don't really consider any.
We don't need any of these.
Any of those.
Yeah, I don't consider any.
I mean, it's just not worth it, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, this is a perfect prime right there. That is perfect. It's flawless. You can see the colors on the stem, and the stench of it is not tainted by any other rotting smells. It's just the perfect, coal tar type. Kind of coal tar smell.
Is that they always said creosote.
These are lycopurdon perlatum, gem studded puffball.
What kind of puffball?
Gem studded puffball.
Gem studded because they're coming off on the.
Right,
like I pick puffballs all the time.
Those are puffballs.
But not a different kind.
Is it a trail? I believe so.
Oh, look at this small hanging right there.
Yeah.
here, he was there.
Throwing on wood?
I don't know.
Well, what?
Whoops.
Sorry. Right.
It's going to be lost forever.
Ooh.
Oh, are they,
How about this one? This is even more exciting than
Carol. Carol went off onto the, Carol McDonald went off back to the real
Oh, really?
This isn't the real girl.
Was it a wood?
But it grows from soil, and usually where it's very compacted, so long paths and things.
I thought it let us in here, no?
I thought it let us here, too.
They're pretty old. They're kind of faded, but they still have kind of a bloody-looking...
Yeah, so they easy way to... And we were at a walk at Locust Grove last week, and a little, I think, 10-year-old kid told me that.
Oh, no. Wow.
What is
I think he's a savant.
Mycena humatifus, the bloody Mycena. So it's a wood rotter.
Yeah, stem, if you break the stem, you'll see red juice coming out.
It's a wood rotter, usually in clusters. The cap is usually not very exciting, kind of pale or brownish. But then the stem, will have this red liquid when you break it. And sometimes it comes out, sometimes it just looks blood red if it's already kind of dried out and old. But yeah, Jerry's right. If you kind of squeeze it, you'll get a drop of red juice that'll come out.
I
see nothing out of this. But I want to know about this coral that I handed you.
Yeah.
That's not really a coral.
You think it's a coral, huh?
Well, no, I know it's not a coral because I know what it is. But it's maybe you might want to call it a false coral. I was hoping someone was going to say, oh, that's a coral mushroom.
No.
So that one is a tremelodendron. Tremelodendron, yeah. It's sort of like a false coral.
Yeah. Huh.
Tremelodendron.
Huh.
Yeah. And I forget the species. We only have really two, the white one and the one that's not white, and that's that one. So maybe if you are keying it out, look for the tremelodendron that's not white. I forget the name of it. So we have hornbeam and hop hornbeam in this forest, if you've been keeping score.
Another, it's like another big, oh, it's a big Lactarius.
Wow.
This definitely has, oh yeah, very milky. See all the juice there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a juicy one. Oh yeah. It's going to be juicy.
Hmm.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, it's dripping. It's gushing.
What is it?
It's a type of a milk mushroom. It's probably
Lactarius?
It's probably one of the hot ones.
I think it's not that toxic.
No,
as he puts it in his mouth.
There's not really too much that's very toxic out right now. Here's a pretty little sterium. Oh, and a pretty little Mycena rotulas on the leaves. Those are cute. These are steriums. Yeah, so not hot. So I'm not sure which one this is. Lactarius chrysarias, probably. A little bit of heat. Very, very, very delayed. Some of them are super acrid hot. Yeah, actually, it's getting kind of hot now.
Do you want to go down this one or go past that?
Don't ask me. I've never been here before.
You guys are confident that that's a different trail back there?
That's the main trail back there, yeah.
Then we should probably go back, don't you think, if that's true?
Because...
So this is more of a
this could
blood
lead us somewhere we don't know where.
What do you mean? No, that's not the same thing. I don't know which one that is.
Looks like another Mycena, though.
Okay.
Okay, going back this way.
Did you... Are you sure that was a whistle? That sounded like a pileated woodpecker.
I didn't hear a whistle.
That sounded like a pileated woodpecker to me.
Oh, really? There's a white
curtain. Oh,
wow.
Oh,
saplings I see in these woods are peach.
Very peach. That's gorgeous. Yeah. Okay. From above, I thought maybe it looked like a gypsy, but definitely has a cortina. That's a keeper for sure.
Okay.
All these, all this fir.
And this
is gorgeous. That is another Russula aurolactarius. It looks like the lactarius that is trying to deceive us into thinking it's the Russula brevipes. There's a surefire way to know. So yeah, it has the enrolled ring that's kind of furry. Surefire way to know. Let's
taste it.
If we taste it. In fact, I already know what they taste.
Give it to Mikey.
Oh, and so it has nice white milk. Taste that. It's not poisonous. But report if it has a taste. Just put. Yeah, you might have to just like touch it with your tongue.
Touch it with your tongue.
Like this.
Go for it.
10 seconds.
Well, give it a taste. If you've never tasted it, is it garlicky, sweet, just mushroomy?
Very mushroomy.
Yeah. Give it a few more seconds.
Oh, it has a little hot.
Yeah, just a little hot?
Yeah.
Okay, give it a few more seconds then. Getting hotter still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give it a few more seconds. And it's like tongue damaging heat. So the weird thing is whenever I have someone like take a little nip of that and chew it and they're like, oh my God. And then like 20 minutes later, it's getting even hotter in my tongue. And they're like, by the way, is that an edible mushroom?
Yeah, thank you very much.
It could be bulimus.
The heat to death.
What? Yeah.
It could be what?
Volemus.
Or Deceptivus.
Yeah. What's the top?
Deceptivus.
That sounds very safe.
Deceptivus. Next to the dying angel.
Yeah, it has kind of a hole.
It's got a hole.
Yeah, Deceptivus has the hole.
That's why I picked it, because of the hole.
Yeah, take it.
Volemus is the one that is a great edible, but it stinks.
Yeah.
And that almost caused me to have a divorce once. We had company coming over, and Carol was going to take a shower, and I said, would you mind if I cook a pan of these mushrooms? She said, no, go ahead. So I cooked, and the whole house stunk to the high
heavens.
Oh, yeah, they smell.
If you've never seen the cortina in all its glory, check these beauties out, these little babies.
Oh, yeah. Wow, the color is amazing.
Look at that cortina.
So those webby.
Haven't broken yet. Look at that sheen on them. Great, fine. So yeah, we need to bag these so that they don't get damaged, because the group will want to. And it'll be most impressive if we get back. A little bag.
Okay.
It'll be most impressive if when we get them back, if you know we have two or three or four of these, if one of them is sliced in half, and then you can see like the cortina like hanging down from the margin, and it's very impressive to see this this structure.
Those guys know all of this.
Oh, gorgeous. So, and this is something that a lot of people don't like. I'm a big fan of these.
Really?
Yeah.
They're so beautiful.
Yeah, this is one of the lacarias, and a lot of the lacarias are kind of weeds and not very good. This one is Lacaria ochropurpurea. And I find it...
Because of the purpura.
Yeah. Yeah, I find the cap, I mean, you can't really eat the stem because it's very tough, but I find the cap to be fairly good, and you can find lots of them. Yeah. And amethystina, too, I find.
How do you just saute in butter?
I actually just dry saute actually a lot of stuff.
And then a little butter at the end.
A little butter right then, yeah.
I like that.
Some things will get kind of bitter. Have you noticed that? Even chanterelles sometimes, if you cook them at high heat in butter, they'll sometimes get bitter.
Huh.
So I usually just kind of lower heat, dry, and then maybe just toss them in the butter at the end. And then leave them in a dish, and then, you know, whatever's going to happen at dinner time,
right.
Put them on it, or just put them on a salad or whatever.
So it's a carrot oak soup.
Lacaria. Not lactarius, but Lacaria. Yeah, Lacaria ochropurpurea. And there's one similar on the West Coast called Lacaria amethystio occidentalis. So, Lacaria AO on the West Coast, or Lacaria ochropurpurea.
Yeah, and they're
mycorrhizal
with
usual.
Oak.
Lots bigger.
This is pretty substantial.
They get a lot bigger.
This is pretty substantial.
Yeah. This year, they were all over the place.
That's fabulous. But of course, up here, you have this, it's a different world up here.
We're going to go back toward the main path.
Okay. Whatever anyone's supposed to do, I'll do it. Don't make them mad to me now. There's mushrooms everywhere. You know, no matter where we take. That is... Oh, that's a hard thin big mushroom. Pretty far gone.
Yeah.
Don't know what it was.
And usually more
it's pretty far gone.
Yeah.
It's really pretty.
Oh, the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys look like they got a little bit of rain on them.
Any more of these? Seem to be a lot of them.
Yeah. Any more of these big dudes right along the path? Maybe that are just coming out. Here we go.
What was it?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh, those are gorgeous. They're all water droppy. Oh, wow, that's a weird smell. It's like a chemical smell. Look at the beads on these, kind of pink. I bet a local person knows exactly what these are. I'm not sure.
Want a bag? Should we bag this?
Oh, no.
So take a look at these.
Oh, see, that's, yeah.
Look at the pink kind of beads of mushroom. What is that? What is that?
That's smell? Coming right out of the mushroom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what that is?
I do, but I'm blocking.
What is that? And they get great big, because there's some big ones along here.
Oh, wow.
With the white liquid that comes out of it.
It's like a chemical smell.
I think I have it on my phone.
Is that one of the agaricus?
I don't think so. So those are way past prime, and the gills are not dark.
Oh, yeah, the gills are wrong. Yep.
I have an email.
Not a leuco agaricus.
Oh, is she?
Oh, okay. So I guess it's that way. Lonnie.
It's that way?
See this one?
Maybe it is.
So that's been eaten a couple of times.
Oh, this?
Yeah.
Oh,
right. So this year, those will fall off. The deer will come by and eat all the buds.
I gotcha. Okay.
Here's the bag. Yeah.
Here.
One for Alex.
Mm-hmm.
I said one for you.
So we are going that way?
Oh, yeah, again, so they look like the fluids.
Carol was sent way down. I'll show you.
Okay. They're waiting for us. Carol was sent to bring us back.
Oh, geez.
So we're in trouble.
Come on, Bridget.
Hey, I'm just going where everyone's going.
Yeah.
I'm not leading.
Thank you. All right.
There's
yeah.
a little bit of a steep
pitch
to the trail down here and some mud, but we've got some flat stones for you.
Great. No, I want the group together as well. Thank you for coming.
Absolutely. Good for exercise.
So the whole reason why I got off the trail to begin with was because of Carol.
It
I was following
her. Because of her. Me. And I want you to know that it's really good mushroom hunting.
The mushrooms are better up ahead.
Well, I don't think that's true, though.
Yeah.
She's coming running back, and
Alan
assured me that he would wait down below and keep telling the guy that I would come back and not be lost.
Okay.
There's a lot of roots down here, so be careful.
He's just like Gary
in the woods. Who?
Great.
He could sit right in one spot and find a million things.
I thought Gary was unique because he didn't want to move.
Yeah. Well, but, Jerry's been adopting that strategy with his bad ankle.
Yeah.
He'll say to me, why don't we just sit here and he'll go through. You know, Gary could find hundreds of things on one log. One log, Carol.
Right.
So,
yeah, there was a coma walk that was where Rena said, why don't we see what we can find here? And Gary was so delighted.
We're coming, Alan! I have people following me.
Sort of, reluctantly.
All right, you guys, just Alan, you can hear Alan now, so.
Yeah,
I'll just, I'm going to bring the beer up.
Oh, okay.
So it's probably a good strategy.
Absolutely. I should use it. Yes, excellent. Thank you.
Get a big stick.
Yeah, I don't need to.
Oh, I'm so glad they did this, because I just imagined we would just go back.
Yeah, I was sort of wondering.
Go 2 feet, which is fine. It's just a different way of doing something.
Right.
And you can't...
Okay.
a little slippery with the mud, huh?
It is slippery.
Yeah.
Okay, so
there's
another
one. I think
I needed help, but I assume that
so where do we continue?
Well, they're going straight. By the way, did you see the markers they left?
Oh, that's so funny.
Look at this.
What?
Oh, that's so sweet.